Well, well, everyone, so much love and blessings. We're so excited to be here, aren't we, Brother Nick?
Oh, yes, absolute privilege, brother, absolute privilege.
So, once again, we have an opportunity to come together and connect on what is calling us to move forward in our lives and to connect with all of you and with each other and connect with your questions, listen, and really help to reveal some things that are going to help to shift your entire experience of life. That's the whole point of these calls, is to help you have massive breakthroughs you can take away with you. And our aim is that each of these calls is enough in itself to be a superhero training, so you don't even need anything else. We want to really just give you the gold every time we talk to you, so that you can go away with something truly valuable in your own personal life and have personal experiences that make you feel amazing and shift things on a very deep level. So, just want to make sure we have Taylor on the phone. Are you there, Taylor? We had a chat for the call today, and Taylor was sharing a lot about what's going on in Monsanto and what's going on the mainland. And these are very powerful times. We really need to be focused and clear about what is important to us and not be distracted and shaken around by all this crazy stuff that is going on. Wouldn't you say, Nick?
I would, brother, yeah. It's extremely powerful times, and these next 3 months especially are hugely important in terms of defining not just the rest of this year, but the destiny of humanity. We're in an absolute critical juncture right now, and light workers and spiritual warriors, the rainbow warriors, are being called. These spiritual warriors that are in all the prophecies and legends of so many indigenous cultures throughout history, well, this is our time, and we're being called. And superhero training is to help you really focus that call into every aspect of your life, so your whole existence is a way of answering this call. And yeah, we're very excited about it all. And even though, you know, we're really stoked and extremely optimistic, and we live, you know, really in states of wonder. That's what we aspire to do. Life is most wondrous. We are also, you know, extremely aware of the context of the world that we're living in, this engineered world, this politically motivated and conspired world. And we can see from this latest development where basically Monsanto have been given, you know, free rein to do anything and not be answerable to any law at all, and have no obligation in any way, shape, or form to declare anything that they're doing on their labels for their products and so-called food that they're producing. And the President of America signed this law into effect and did it very stealthily, exceedingly unsportsmanlike. And just shoved this thing through, and now it's law. And so we need to understand that this is the context that we're living in. There is a war on for your food, for what goes into your body, and not just what goes into your body, but your mind and everything. And this is nothing to be frightened of, but it is something to be aware of. And there's a great call for human beings everywhere to intentionally focus in groups. And we are one such group, superhero training. We focus our minds in a certain way. We focus our heart and soul in a certain way. And this does great good for the world. And you have been called, you've answered the call, and now you're being called to step it up, to really go up the gears and to really ask yourself, you know, what is no longer serves me in my life? What have I had enough of now? It's time to let go of absolutely and rise to that level of being that you've dreamed of and felt and are being called to express. And we're right there with you. We're all going through a very intense and wonderful and magnificent process. And if you're doing it right, then you just get stronger and stronger and stronger and more real. And so this is the proof in the pudding. And we're going to be answering some questions here for you. And hopefully Taylor has now joined us. Are you there, Taylor?
I am.
Fantastic.
I am.
All right, Taylor. Yes, we're always blessed. And let's get to the first question today, which is from Rochelle from Lake Orion. And the question is, I am a newbie to superhero training. I'm needing more assistance finding out what my true mission is, as I have many things I feel I am good at and many things I am passionate about. I know what my intentions are, but cannot pinpoint what is the best mission for me. Taylor, what do you think about that?
Well, I think that's a common challenge I hear often from people. And however, I never believe it, frankly, because I am that everyone knows exactly what they're here to do. And this idea that you don't is just the ego's way of distracting you from it. So I would not buy into that for one second and get real and look and see what is it that you love, because that's the one thing we all do know about ourselves. So when people come to me and they say, oh, I really don't know what my mission is, I say, I don't believe that, frankly. So I would turn the inquiry back around to you and say, what is your mission? Because you know it. You know what you love to do, you know what you're good at, and you know what gives you joy. And in there lies your mission. And just start with that. You know, just start with maybe even just writing that down or blah, blah, blah. And out of all that will come some clarity around it. And it may be that you start on that, and in starting on that, then something else gets revealed. But you got to start somewhere. And you were given, like we all were, you arrived intact with your mission in your soul, in your heart and soul. And it's not something you got to figure out. It's not encrypted in some foreign language. It's clear. It's as clear as, you know, your soul is clear. And so don't let your ego distract you and deceive you into thinking it's not. And just, you know, put on some good meditation with the intention of connecting to that which you are, that is your mission. You know, set that intention before you do, you know, get into a bigger space, and let it arise from your being. And it will. You know, some version of it, and then just move forward with it. Just move forward with it. Don't wait around trying to figure it out. You know, you can sit around and try to figure it out forever. And I know people do this, by the way. Yeah, I'm trying to figure it out. Oh, I don't know yet. I'm still trying to figure it out. It's like ridiculous waste of time. There's nothing to figure out. Just set the intention, ask and you shall receive, to get clarity and get it. And it may be some even random thing that doesn't even make sense, but so what? Just move forward with it, and the doing will reveal itself. You know, I don't know what that expression is, but you know, whatever that means, like in doing it, you'll discover it or whatever. That's what I would have to say about. That's my immediate response.
That's a very powerful immediate response, and completely agree with that. You know, we can try and figure things out forever. And that can take a lot of time. You're really wandering around. A lot of people going to India to try and find themselves and all sorts of things, you know. Nothing wrong with being in the questioning of that. You know, it's good to ask the question, and we're very glad you did. And questions are very powerful because they bring answers. Ask and you shall receive. But I think one of the reasons that you're maybe having an issue, Rochelle, or anyone who's doing this, is that if you have lots of things that you're good at and you have lots of ways of expressing yourself, which all of us here do as well, that can potentially lead you to wonder, well, which is my ideal way of expressing? Should I do this? Should I do that? Should I do this? What about this? But ultimately, it doesn't matter which method you use, you know, because, for example, I can express myself through music, through art, through different kinds of art, through teaching in groups, in one-on-one, doing audios, doing videos, doing a little dance, do you know what I mean? Like this, like endless ways of expressing. And all sorts of subtle ways that we express ourselves. And if you're worried about which of those is the best one to do, then, you know, you're never really going to find it, because chances are there's many different ways that you can express yourself, and you will. The important thing isn't how you express yourself, it's what you're trying to do. What is your bigger intention? What is your bigger mission? And you already know what that is because you have your intention. So just like Taylor says, start moving forward in whichever is easiest and most passion and most happiness for you, however that looks to you right now. And by doing it, you're going to start feeling a result. And then you can learn from that experience and decide, well, maybe I should do it like this or like that. But at least you've got something to look at. If I look back over the last 15 years, I've got countless tons and tons and tons of expressions of creativity and various things on a number of different levels. And I don't even know how I even got there, quite honestly. When I look back at all the stuff I've created, I really am amazed that it even happened, because grace is working through us. And things are just happening by themselves. So just let it work through you. And then you can look at it and you can say, well, that's great. Or maybe I could do it slightly different. But just start moving forward, start moving forward, start moving forward.
Well said, bro. The grace is moving through us. And I like to say to you, my dear sister, that your mission in life, just like Brother Michael said, despite whatever, however you're expressing it, your mission is basically to be loving and joyful. You can boil it down to that. What are you good at? What gives you joy? Now, if your inner nature, if what you are made in the image and likeness of is pure love itself, then that's a very important thing for you to reflect that quality. Loving and joyful. So if you start the day offering your heart to your spiritual connection, offering your heart to that pure love of divinity that is personified by the Divine Mother, or whatever, however you want to interface with that energy, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful feminine invisible love, then that's going to go a huge, huge, huge way for you to be experiencing joy. And then if you can do the simplest thing, like, for instance, if you have a rebounder, a little rebound trampoline, and you bounce on that rebounder, then you get your lymphatic system moving a little bit. So you're flooding your blood with immune-boosting cells, and your cells are all being worked out. You have such a beautiful opportunity then to carry that feeling of joy through the whole day. And that's what the world needs. It needs joyful people that are just so stoked with their connection to life itself through their own heart, and being able to express it through, you know, a biology that all the channels are open and functioning, and you just, you know, you're alive. because so many people are living the life of the living dead. Dr. Gabriel Cousins calls it the culture of death. And there's billions and billions and billions of sheeple that are being herded into the culture of death by the dictators of this so-called civilization. And we, the superheroes, our mission in life is to embody something that stands against it, not by fighting it, not by being in conflict within ourselves, not by doing destructive things, but by being extremely constructive in the way we organize our own minds, with the way we spend our own time, invest our own time and energy, and focus. And the core, like Michael said about, we will hope to give you the gold. We want every one of these cores to be a superhero training in itself, so that you can, if you just take this recording, you can, and practice what's shared, your life will absolutely transform, 1,000% guaranteed. 1,000% guaranteed. Absolutely unstoppable, because it's just a scientific thing. Life is here, it's perfect, it's infinite, it's supportive, it's wholly benevolent. Superimposed on that reality, on life itself, is the Matrix. And the Matrix is engineered and policed by negative forces. And your simple job as a superhero is to fill yourself with so much positivity that you literally hold a space in the world that completely represents something else, that completely anchors in a very, very, very practical and obvious, real way, something extraordinary, something miraculous. And it can be in the subtlest, you know, forms of your expression. And so you don't have to know exactly what big thing you need to be doing in this world. Focus on the core, focus on the essence, get yourself super powered up, spiritually speaking, and express it through a healthy biology, through your joy, a joy body, and just follow the steps. And just like Taylor was saying, if you need to know what the next step is, all you have to do is go in and ask. Ask what you're good at, ask what gives you joy, and just do it. And use our vision, plan, action protocols. Vision, plan, action protocols. It's part of the training, vision, plan, action. What's your vision? How do you formulate your plan and take that action to just do it? That's what superheroes do. Thank you so much for that question, Brother Michael.
Yeah, I just want to add one other thing. And it is a great question because a lot of people have it. You know, another way to look at this is, we are all we are is energy, period. And when you organize your energy in a configuration that is what you love, then it becomes who you are naturally. It's connecting to your true nature, one could say. When you connect with your true nature, the universe naturally gets behind that. It's like you create a momentum. That's what being in the flow is all about. That's what synchronicity is all about. And what has you, what pulls you out of the flow is you disconnecting to your true nature, or being in your head or your ego, or like Nick was saying, you know, walking dead. Okay? So, and that can look like sitting around trying to figure out what to do, for example. The minute you just start doing what you love, the energy naturally calls unto it itself. And there's a natural momentum and force field that's created to take you into the next font, your next, you know, just boom, boom. It's like, well, you get right back into the flow. You're in your life's path flow. And it's as simple as that. And it really is as simple as that. It's not trying to figure out, well, how can I make money from what I love or any of that stuff. That'll just bog you down. Just start doing what you love. And the more you can fill your life with that, it's like David Wolf always says, don't worry about what to eat. or not what to not eat. Just start eating, you know, good stuff, and you'll just, it'll crowd out all the other stuff. Then you'll just want more good, you know, just like, yeah, I want more of that, you know, just more of that. So that's, you know, pretty much the formula. Just see it as energy. See yourself as energy, and how can I increase my vibration to one of joy in everything I do, whether it's, you know, taking a bath or taking a walk or a rebound or whatever the heck it is. And then you'll just naturally get back into that synchronistic flow, and you will be shown, you'll be given, you'll be guided, you'll be directed. All the answers will be revealed.
That's right. Super powerful. Super, super powerful. And we got another question. These are fantastic questions. We really like your questions, by the way, everyone. And so keep asking us questions. And I'm quite impressed by this one. They're always good questions, but this is a very deep one, especially deep. If you wish to change the projection or actions of another character in your movie, what is the quickest, most effective way of doing that? This is from Donna in Texas. Are all of the actions of others originating from my projector? Is there any value in conversation requesting change in behavior from others other than hearing myself make the audible request? My desire is to fully grasp what is actually happening when the behavior or choices of another causes me to experience emotional, physical pain. As well, I would like to understand my role or responsibility in the varying perceptions others may experience based on my actions. It is so hard to believe that there isn't anyone to blame for my experiences of pain. So, if I am creating it all, then where do I go to change the program or script, and what do I do when I get there? Much gratitude for your time and your support and your sharing, Donna, Texas. What a fantastically deep question. Taylor, do you want to say anything about that?
Well, I have a lot to say, but I was surprised that I thought I heard Nick trying to withhold himself over there.
Brother Nick's he's just preparing himself.
Oh, okay. all right, then. Well, it's a darn good question. And it's true, it is hard to believe that there isn't anyone to blame for everything. I agree with you. I'd like to blame everyone for everything, myself. And but, in fact, there isn't anyone to blame for any experience, really.
There was,
so,
it would be a lot.
What?
It would be a lot easier if there was someone to blame.
A lot easier, yeah.
Unfortunately.
So, I mean, okay, hold on, because there seems to be multiple questions in here. Look, ultimately, we're 100% responsible for everything that happens in our universe, in our world, in our life. So let's just start with that, which it looks like you are grappling with that. Now the second layer to that is, well, so given that, do I even bother talking to anybody about anything that they're doing? And the answer to that question is absolutely. And that's where your responsibility comes in dealing with others. And that's not to say, well, I can't really change other people, so why bother talking to them? I just need to change my perception of other people. But in truth, there is great value in communicating from a space of 100%. I know I'm 100% responsible for this, and I have requests of you in being related to you that, you know, I'd like to discuss with you, or there's a conversation that you want to have, or any variation on the theme, because what I find is, all too often, people make stuff up about everything. You know, it's one of the four agreements is not to assume everything, but I find most people assume everything. And that there's enormous power in evolution, in for us as beings with one another, you know, having life experiences and interacting, to be in committed conversation for contributing to one another from a space of 100% responsibility. And that's a very distinct conversation that most people have never been educated in having, by the way. They don't even have the distinctions I'm even talking about. But they're easy to get, and they're essential to have if you're going to have enlightened relationships with one another and supportive communications for mutual empowerment and evolution. And so, you know, that's the answer to your question. Yes, you can actually have, you can alter what is happening in your universe by virtue of that kind of committed conversation, but it's a distinct conversation that requires the other person, or, you know, the other people that are involved, to also want to engage at that level with you, you know, to be contributed to, for example, or they're open to request, or they're open to dialogue in that way, and they're taking 100% responsibility as well. And really, this is the type of engagement and responsibility that is going to result in, you know, all of us having enlightened relationships. So it's a good thing to get skillful at and be committed to. And you absolutely can alter the world about you with that level of communication, for sure. That is the way to alter the world about you, you know, by being 100% responsibility and having committed conversations at that level with other human beings.
Yeah, that's so, so true, and you have to be aware that not everyone is open to those conversations. So if you're in a situation where you are open to that, but they're not, then it doesn't necessarily work at all, or it does, certainly doesn't work as well, because that you need to ask and make sure the other person is willing to hear you before you say things. Otherwise, they'll just blow up and or take it the wrong way, or, you know, so it backfires. And just to briefly on this topic about dealing with the movie of life and how everything we experience is inside of us and everyone else is in a way part of our reality, and is there any point in trying to change people? You know, this is a very deep topic. And how I understand it and how I live my life is essentially just give blessings to everyone all the time. You know, blessings, may you be happy, peaceful, loving, like, wish the best and have heartfelt good feelings for other people from your heart, genuinely, no matter what, as a general policy, like a general way of being. And, you know, people are going to do what they're going to do, because it's a movie, you know, movie things happen. The time when you need to step in and actually do something about it is when things directly affect you personally, you know. So I won't really say much about most things going on in the world, because it's none of my business, in a sense. Like, there is, obviously, I'm affecting the world through my life, and I'm doing everything I can to make a positive impact. But when it comes to my next-door neighbors and what they're up to and what they're doing tomorrow evening, I'm not getting involved in all that at all. I'm no interest. But if something comes into my own aura, my own sphere, my own reality, and is in my face, then it is my responsibility to do something about that, you know. And that is where you need to actually take action. Do whatever, you know, it can be talking to people personally, it can be doing things physically and not talking to them, it can be just in the mind, it can be through other forms of communication, but something needs to be done to shift the energy and to rearrange your life if it's sabotaging you.
Mm-hmm.
We should definitely never put up with sabotage in our lives at all. You know, it's it's often hard to do it. I've had to go through some of this recently, and we all will at various times, but we need to make sure we look after ourselves, otherwise we're no good to anyone else. So we don't want to get so metaphysical about this that there's sabotage happening and we're not doing anything, you know. So ultimately, it's all happening inside of consciousness and we're witnessing it. And even though that's happening, we still need to play the game in the movie and play to win. So it's perfectly fine for you to go ahead and make adjustments.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful question. Amazing subject. So much depth in this. And just a little bit that I want to add to all of that brilliance that preceded me is that in the game of life, in the spiritual game, you have to be a warrior. You don't have any choice. When it comes to action, action is the warrior archetype. That's it. And you're... A warrior is on a battlefield, not swinging in the hammock on a vacation or anything like that. No other archetype, not soft and cuddly, no other archetype. A warrior is on a battlefield. That's what defines a warrior. And so that means you have to take action. You don't have any choice about that. And sometimes the action isn't even what the warrior wants to take. It's something different. But through the taking of it, you know, like Taylor was saying, the mystery is revealed in you. So you have to take the action. But the inspiration and the, you know, the action that you do take, if you can practice, especially early in the morning and before you go to sleep, if you can practice literally being a point of light, like we recommend becoming soul conscious, if you practice being a point of light and shift your sense of self, your focus in within instead of out, within, and you connect with a great love inside of you, a great love, a great peace, a great presence, you know, you can call it the spirit of life. Let's just do that for a moment right now. Just take a breath, you guys that are listening. Just take a breath. And just close your eyes and put your hand on your heart and connect with yourself inside there like you've never done before. Like never done before, because every moment with that holy presence is a brand new moment. It makes everything new. You're completely renewed in a moment. That's the promise of that love. So there's this great spiritual resource within us. And it's our duty as spiritual warriors to go to this place within us, this oasis within, regularly, and die, literally die, to who we think we are, who we believe we are, our personality, our ego identity, our physical form, and all of the stories that we're connected to from those perspectives. Simply die to it. And it's actually the most wonderful thing. And it has nothing to do with being irresponsible and not taking action or not being able to take action. What it does is that the warrior takes off the warrior closes his eyes or closes her eyes and goes into complete surrender and trust within oneself. And in doing that, is able to execute magnificently whatever it is that they're faced with, whatever quote-unquote enemies or forces amassing against you. They can come in the form of negative thought forms, negative people, negative circumstances. You know, and let's be honest about it, the way the world is organizing itself around human consciousness right now is in a terrible, terrible way. And getting more and more so every day. And we've been, you know, banging on about it for years. But we don't promote the negative. We promote the positive. But we know what's up. And so if you can move through this world like an immortal yogi superhero, and if you would go and sit with those old you know, immortal yogis, if you wouldn't go and sit with them, many of them would barely even open their eyes in your presence. You know, even in the presence of their most trusted inner sanctum of students and adepts, you know, because they keep their eyes almost closed because they want to stay focused on the inner world. That's where their power comes from. That's where the power comes from. That's where the love comes from. That's where the grace comes from. And we need to be in the grace in this world right now. We need to be in the grace in the matrix. The matrix, the grace is the only thing that will protect you, that will save you, that will make everything work out, even though when it looks like everything is going wrong. The grace is the only thing. It's the only thing there is. There isn't anything else that will do that. So as long as we understand this, it's a no-brainer. It's just like, okay, the grace is the grace. I need that power. I need that presence. All I have to do is take my cup and allow it to be filled morning and night, morning and night, morning and night, before you go to sleep and as soon as you wake up in the morning, especially early in the morning, and take your cup and offer it in the most tender, sweetest way. And one more thing, just to give you the real inner scoop, is that the warrior's heart is bleeding. You're a spiritual warrior, and your heart is bleeding because that part of you, your spirit, feels the desecration of life, feels what's actually happening in the world, that your psyche, your ego, your personality, the person you think you are, if you were allowed to have one glimpse of it for just 1 or 2 seconds, you would never, ever, 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 ever be able to recover from the trauma of that glimpse, ever. Utterly impossible. So we can't possibly deal with the pain and suffering that is going on in the world right now in our conscious state. But part of us is aware of this and feels it. And this is the bleeding heart of the spiritual warrior. It's an archetypal wound. We could go on about it for ages. It's personified in many ways, Jesus' bleeding heart, for one. So the heart sensitivity is what we offer in the cup in the morning. It's that's what is filled, is our tenderness, our sweet, 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 the beauty of our tenderness. That's what our holy grail, our cup, is made of. And just offer that. And just allow yourself to be filled. And you need to be in a state of deep relaxation. And you can achieve that very, 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 very simply through the sweetest little mantra. Listening to one of the many, many tapes that we have that takes you into deep relaxation, audio files. And when we talk about maintaining a stage in life so that we can deal with the drama of life and all these things, it's staying close to that state of consciousness, staying close to it, not letting yourself drift off and become fragmented into the madness. And the more you practice it, the more you fill your cup, the more you're overflowing with it, and the more the reflection of your life communicates that back to you. You're living in grace, you're living in grace, you're living in grace, you're living in grace. But all those around you, like it says in Psalm 91 in our book Amazing Grace, all those around you might be, you know, going, losing their flipping lives, losing their sanity. And it's happening right now. It's really, really on. So it's absolutely critical that you fortify yourself and put on the whole armor of God, so to speak. And that's a science. It's a precise science of self-engineering. And superhero training just helps you do that in every facet of your life.
Thank you, bro.
And, you know, this kind of brings us on to the next question, actually, in terms of shifting consciousness, being in a good stage. I mean, ultimately, it's all about feeling good and being in that higher consciousness. And we've got a question from Andrea, and she's asking about pain. Aloha, superhero family. My question is about physical pain. I have a situation that I am actively searching for a healthy solution to, and I've been working with this story since I was 11 years old. The pain started after having a very bad allergic reaction to a prescription drug and gaining 50 pounds in 3 weeks. I basically have excessive scar tissue growth in the deep muscles in my abdomen, causing excessive pain twice a month. I just made a connection to the fact that the excessive gas produced when going from being raw vegan 100% of the time and then dropping to cooked food vegan when I am in pain actually causes more pain. So I feel I have a bit of control with it in that part. But what do you suggest for the rest of the pain that I can't perceive how to control? Are there meditation techniques or herbal teas you suggest? I've been drinking glandular tea and feel it's helped me to wake up to the pain more and deal with rather than hide behind the pain remedies. I know I can heal, but I'm running out of options. Thank you so much for your help, support, time, love, blessings, Andrea.
Yay. Well, blessings to you, Andrea. Well, pain is a huge teacher. Khalil Gibran says it's the breaking of the shell that encloses our understanding. So number one thing is, you know, when things get bad, there is a place inside you where that is pain-free all the time. And I've found that place many times in my life when I've been in, you know, excruciating pain from some radical injury or something, you know, hardcore has happened and it's just, that's it now, it's pain for a while. And when it doesn't go away, it's just gnawing at you, gnawing at you, gnawing at you. It's one of the most horrible situations that anyone, a soul can endure. So none of us like pain. When it gets really bad, there is a place, and you've got to find that place. It's like the eye of the storm. And what pain does is it drives you into that place where you are consciousness, the observer, witnessing the body, and the body is in pain, but you're not the body, and you've disassociated yourself to that degree. Now, that takes practice, 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 but I would encourage you to go with the pain when you're in it and find that place within you, and you need to be very relaxed to do that. Second thing, eradicating the pain, dissolving the pain, removing the pain forever. Here's the list of order of things that you need to be doing. Well, number one is to forgive yourself absolutely, to put your hands on your belly. You can do it now if you're listening, and just take a breath and just say, God, help me forgive myself absolutely and completely. Help me forgive myself for all the hurts and wrongs I've caused myself knowingly and unknowingly throughout all space and time. Help me forgive myself and release these pain. Please, God, thank you, God, thank you, God. Amen, or whatever you want to say. You can call them anything you want to say. Call the Great Spirit or whatever you want to call it. Say it and say please and thank you. And then seal it with something. Finish it. You can clap your hands and say, I hope. Or you can say, Amen. Or you can, or heart tone, anything that seals the intentional prayer. And keep going with the forgiveness and ask your guides, ask your higher self, what do you need to forgive and let go of, and dissolve all that on the emotional plane. So it takes away an emotional component in the pain factor from by forgiveness. Very, very, very powerful. Second thing is you need to get your lymphatic system moving. Very, very important. Huge lymph nodes, lymphatic ducts in the guts, hugely important. The fluid mix in there. So I would highly, highly, highly recommend you get onto a juicing and rebounding program. Rebounding, buy a little rebounder if you can. If you haven't got one, high quality one. Don't go for the low quality ones. Get one for around $300 and just bounce very, very gently. Your feet don't even have to leave the mat. And just bounce, 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 bounce with your heels down. That will get the valves in your gut, your lymphatic system, absolutely critical to the way your fluids are moving in your body, the way the waste is accumulating in your gut, and super critical to reducing inflammation, which all pain is. It's always inflammation. So little bouncy, 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 10, 15, 20 minutes, two or three times a day, will absolutely do wonders for you. Get on to some juicing. And I would also suggest that you look at the hot-cold factors and start doing warmer drinks and feel the impact. If you're, you know, if you do cold drinks, never do ice things. Just do juices at room temperature. But I would also encourage you to do simple soups and to experiment with herbal teas, to continue with herbal teas, herbal tea remedies, herbal tea blends, herbal tea concoctions, and you can make them creamy with some kind of nut milk or coconut oil or anything like that that you want to cream it up with that's really, really nourishing for you. That'll be lovely. And, yeah, and just pray, use prayers, and bless yourself up, and also massage. I'd be rubbing scar tissue dissolving oils in my gut. If I had a man, if I had a lover or my man, I would get him to be putting really good vibes in there and just loving it better and rubbing it better. I'd also, when you treat yourself really well with the oils and everything, I do, you know, like proper little healing sessions on yourself, and then go to bed, snuggle up with a hot water bottle, and that will get so much circulation going in your guts. And it's all about circulation. Your body can heal itself of anything. You can move out of pain. You can be pain-free no matter how long you've been in it, as long as you know how to do it and you do those things. So the prayer and the forgiveness on the inner plane will take care of the emotional factors. And the psychological factors also need to be supported, the psychological factors with affirmations of I am, you know, healthy and happy. I am joyful and free. I am joyful and feeling wonderful. I am just so happy and healthy. You know, just saying super positive things over and over and over and over and over. You can email me, successultranow@gmail.com, if you aren't able to make progress with it, and we'll take it all to the next level. So just sending you lots of love and blessings, and I wonder if Taylor has got anything to add to that.
I do. That's all. Those are all wonderful suggestions. I would just add to that, you know, scar tissue can be broken up. There's, even if it's deep, even if, wherever it is, doesn't matter. You know, good abdominal massage, someone that understands the abdominal cavity would be critical to that. But also I would suggest, you know, Premier Research Labs has one of the best protocols for any kind of trauma to the body or any kind of scar tissue, any kind of incision. Anytime you have something like that, it always is blocking ley lines, let's just say, of the body. And so you want to remediate that, you know, just like you would if you were space clearing a house. It's no different on your body. And the best way to remediate trauma to the body is through mud packs. And PRL, Premier Research Labs, has a whole protocol, which in my experience, is one of the fastest, most efficient way to clear trauma from the body I've ever seen. I mean, it's miraculous. It really is. And so much so that they have whole clinics now set up where all they're doing all day long is mud packing, you know, people's appendectomy scars and, you know, just all, every you name it, vaccinations, doesn't matter. So I would look into that. You can also email me, and I can give you a list of, you know, PR practitioners perhaps in your area that could be a resource for you, or just, you know, where you can get that. But in addition to that, castor oil has been called the hand of Christ. And one of the reasons why is because of its penetrating, healing properties, and it's unique in that way. And so you can do a castor oil compress on that area with, like, heating, like a hot water bottle, like Nick was talking about. That'll just drive that in even more and help to break up that inflammation and tissue. But, you know, I think it might be a combination of those two things. You know, possibly someone who's really good at abdominal massage can get in there and target where, like Nick said, wherever there's pain, there's stagnation. That's it. That's the whole story on pain. And there's absolutely no reason to live with it at all. So you know, I would research those little protocols, and you can email me if you need more information on that. But just, you don't need to learn how to suppress it or deal with it. You just need to get rid of it. No reason for superheroes to walk around in pain. Isn't that right, Michael?
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. And I would totally agree with all that. And I would also just mention a couple other things. Pain, I've been blessed to not have a great deal of pain in my life physically, but when I have experienced it, it normally has been extremely powerful, potent pain, and I've had to discover that point within me where it's all right. You know, normally when I've been in India and got very ill, you know, and haven't been able to move, and just completely trashed. So I've had to deal with my fair share of pain, and I can laugh at it now, but at the time it's slightly harder. So a couple things. First of all, the experience of pain is highly subjective and can be changed. Unlike other things in life, you know, like how many chairs you have in your house. You know, there's a number of chairs and you can count them, and it's quite obvious. But pain, it's a subjective experience. And through hypnosis, NLP, and EFT, or faster EFT, people have, I've seen videos of this, and I know people who do this, have gone from someone who's at a pain level of 10, goes down to a 1 or a 0 in minutes. So nothing's happened except their subjective personal experience of their pain is pretty much disappeared, all completely gone. I've witnessed this with my mother. She has chronic pain sometimes, and then she's fine. It's like nothing, she hasn't done anything. It's just her mind is around it has changed. So all those physical things are very powerful, and they work, and definitely do those. And I'd also recommend, there's a book by David Hawkins called Healing and Recovery. It's got a green and white cover. And there's a section on pain in that book where he talks about not resisting the pain, but allowing it when it comes fully. Don't have any resistance at all. And since then, he mentioned things like burning your hand. So I recently burnt my hand on some stove or something. And rather than going, my hand, I just didn't go into it at all. Just completely accepted it. Didn't try and stop it in any way. And there was no consequence of that, no scars, nothing. It just completely gone very, very, very quickly. Whereas normally it would have taken a day and would have hurt and would have been feeling hot, you know, and it didn't happen. So worth checking out that book, Healing and Recovery by Dr. David Hawkins. Worth checking out Faster EFT, tapping stuff for pain. I can't remember the guy's name, but there's tons of videos on YouTube about this where he helps people reduce their pain. And hypnosis, if you know a decent hypnotist who can do this and you can learn how you can do it yourself, you might be able to learn a way of going from, you know, like a 10 down to a 0, you know, subjectively. So even if the situation's still there, it will go away in terms of your feeling of the pain. So if you do that, you've got the physical experience of it reduced. And if you do everything that Nick and Taylor are saying, as you know, they're mentioning also spiritual things, but if you do the physical things, that will help the physical body. And obviously the spiritual side of it is going to affect the body as well. And I'd love to hear what happens from to you, Andrew. I'm sure we all would. We'd love to hear from you. So please send us an email or post it on the superhero community, Facebook community. We'd love to hear your experience. I think we've given you quite a few things to do here. So hopefully you've been taking notes and stay in touch.
All right. Got a question, or actually, it's not a question. This is an announcement from Jake. He wants to make an announcement. Jake says, this isn't a question but an announcement. I just wanted to say, you are all such beautiful people and I love you all so much. The gratitude I have for all of the love and support you've given me is insurmountable, and I just felt that a special mention was required on the call. This shout out goes to the superhero teachers and the students alike. So this is to everyone. From my eternal soul to yours, Jake. P.S. I'm sorry, please forgive me. I love you. I love you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. That was nice. Just a little blessing from Jake. We love you, Jake. I love everyone. Thank you so much for being here. It's always nice to hear these comments. And we have a final question from Jenny. And Jenny says, aloha. With this superhero training in my life is changing fast. But with baby steps every day, I stopped the deity products and dairy products and meats 1 month before the start of this training, and now more into cooked, uncooked live foods. My biggest issue to getting healthy is to stop smoking. I've stopped so many times. I've read books, did acupuncture, plasters, pills, and a few times stopped without anything. I've heard from a spiritual guy that smoking is not healthy, but is helping to smoke bad energies away from your aura. So someone says smoking is not healthy, but it's good for getting rid of energies in your aura. Nevertheless, I want to get a healthy body, so I want to quit. But it seems something else takes over my psyche, like I get insane, and it's like I'm not myself anymore. I'm getting so angry. So my question is, what is the best way to quit without getting all this drama? Which EFT is best to do this, or what else might help? Thank you so much for your answers. With much love, Jenny. Fantastic question. Taylor, Nick, do you have anything you want to share first of all?
Yeah. I got something to share. The Smoke Dragon. A smoke dragon, one of the best archetypes to study if you're wrestling with the smoke dragon is in Lord of the Rings, when Gandalf the Grey stands on the bridge and stops the huge smoking demon from coming across, and he says, "You shall not pass," and slams his staff down so powerfully on the bridge that the bridge breaks and the demon falls off down into the abyss, and the demon's just falling into the abyss. But while he's falling, his fiery tail, or some kind of light, some kind of like filament made of fire off him, whips around like a whip and wraps around Gandalf's foot and pulls him off the bridge down into the abyss. And now Gandalf the Grey has fallen, but he's fallen head first like a warrior diving down to to take this thing on. And so anyone who's got the smoke dragon archetype or conflict within, basically, you know, it's extremely powerful mythological form, this smoking thing. You have to look at that, the message from the Lord of the Rings there, and just interpret that for yourself. And it's something like this: is your destiny is to move from Gandalf the Grey into Gandalf the White, which is a purification of your wisdom. Gandalf is the wizard has tremendous wisdom, but he's also a warrior as well. But he's more kind of a wizard and a shaman. So you have to acknowledge this part of yourself and ask yourself, are you ready, willing and able to step into, you know, being Gandalf the White, which is a purer and more powerful a version of yourself? Are you really ready for that responsibility? Because with it comes tremendous responsibility, because the destiny of humanity is hinged on these these movements inside of us. You know, this is not a little thing we're talking about here when you're trapped in, you know, driven by urges and impulses to the point where you feel it's insanity. You know, it is insane. All the ego's mad desires are insane. And we feel the most destructive components of the ego, which is the sabotaging element. You know, there's a sabotaging aspect, a facet to the ego construct. We can call it the saboteur. And it's like your inner terrorist that is there to destroy. And it's an absolute maniac. So somehow you have to harness the psychotic nature of this inner maniac, and instead of it expressing destructively, somehow channel it into constructive expression in your life. So you need to get busy and, in a way, obsessive about something. And, you know, this starting with doing what you love and what brings you joy is the best place to start. And take your maniac into that and just plot and scheme like a terrorist would, who's just bent on destruction. Plot and scheme constructivity and your own glorification, the movement of yourself from Gandalf the Grey to Gandalf the White. And ceremony, precision, timing with the moon cycles and powerful astrological days to do ceremonies for yourself, where you're doing these things that bring you love and joy, and you're replacing your addictive, destructive qualities with new habits of that bring you love and joy. That would be my very short answer to a very, very, very deep subject. I'm sure Taylor's got something amazing to say as well, and Brother Michael. Taylor Cole?
Well, all right, then I'll just jump in here. yeah, you know, it's been said that cigarettes and the chemicals that they put in it, it's not nicotine so much as it is the chemicals in them, is actually many more times addictive than heroin. And I've supported many an individual in giving up this habit, and it's really does create a smoke screen around you. And I would wholly disagree with that, person that told you whatever they told you. But it really does create a smoke screen to clarity, and so it's essential to eliminate it. And it really does take, like Nick was sharing, it is really almost like going to battle with the devil. And that's how I usually support people in stopping this habit, is to see it as that, just to see the conversations that roll around in your head like, oh, come on, you know, you can just, you know, you tell yourself you're going to stop, and the next day you wake up and it's like, oh, come on, you know, you can have one. Every one of those conversations you want to view as the devil. And that's what you're tangoing with there, and who's going to win is you, and that's what you declare, you know, kind of like Gandalf saying, you shall not pass here. Well, you know, if you really do want to quit, you need to take it on and take yourself on, and you can be victorious. There is no, in my view, anything useful in cutting down or, you know, weaning yourself off it, all those are just, you know, are ridiculous. You just quit. You just say you're done. And then you go to work on the conversations that say other than that, because that's all they are. They're just conversations. And there's also plenty of good homeopathic supports you can get for the physical craving, but I really don't. I just say you use it as an opportunity to be a superhero. Use it as a superhero challenge, and that the victory is going to be you over any conversation that wants to undermine you from not quitting, and you shall be victorious. And that's just that, and you know, and there's nothing about like, well, I'll do it next month or any of that. No, just boom, I'm going to do it. This is it. You know, you throw your packs away, and then you take on the conversations that say anything other than that, and you'll be victorious. And they'll give up. They will give up. As tenacious as they may seem to you, you will wear them down, and they will go away. And you'll wonder how on earth was that? Had that ever gotten the best of you? So, you know, it's not as hard as it seems from where you're at right now, but it does require you committing fully to it and seeing it as an opportunity to become a victorious and use this as your path to superhero-ness, and then you can support others. You know, I mean, just take it on. Take it on as your superhero challenge and embrace it. Look forward to it. You know, like people do that are running marathons or, you know, really challenging themselves physically to do better than what their mind, you know, their mind's like, oh, you know, I can't do this. And it's like, yeah, oh, yeah, you want to see? You know, I like to, I always am looking to challenge myself. I always listen for where does my mind say, you can't do that, and then I move forward to do it intentionally. You know, that expression, you should do something every day you're afraid to do. Well, you got it. You got the perfect project there right in your hand. You know? Do it. Just do it. And be victorious over this, and then call and tell us all about it. And we'll celebrate together with you. But there's nothing to wait for. You know, this idea of waiting for this, that, or the other, that's more ridiculous nonsense. And the addiction is talking to you about.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think basically whenever, I remember when I was 18, I decided to give up everything I was addicted to all in one go on New Year's Eve. And everyone said I couldn't do it. And I have no idea how I didn't do it, actually. I think partly it was because people said I couldn't do it. I had the sort of stubbornness that I'd do it anyway. Gave up smoke, cigarettes, cannabis, all drugs, girlfriends, everything. I was like, no, I'm giving it all up, becoming a monk, beer, you know, the whole thing. I just had my, you know, chamomile tea and did my meditations, like, let damn white change. And if I think back to how it was, how was that possible? Because it's a little bit of a miracle, really, because I was heavily into all those things just before that. The real change that happened was that I saw myself differently. I saw my destiny. I saw where I was going very, very clearly. I could see a vision of myself in the future. And that vision was so powerful that my identity was completely altered because I saw the vision. And I saw myself as a non-smoker, non-drinker, and all these things. And I just wasn't interested in it. In my vision, I was totally over all that stuff. I just wasn't interested, genuinely, from my heart. And that was such a powerful vision that my behavior aligned with the vision, basically. So if you want to stop smoking, you need to see yourself very clearly as a non-smoker. I wouldn't call it a non-smoker because then the word smoking is still involved in it. But just see yourself as somebody who's just a healthy person, who's stoked, who is happy and healthy and doing your thing, superhero, getting on with it. And by feeling that about yourself, seeing yourself like that, and having that vision of yourself, you won't be able to smoke because you're not that person anymore.
But until you see that change and that feel that change in you, then you'll carry on smoking. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter how. Willpower isn't enough to do it. You have to be able to actually experience yourself as completely different. And we've given you so many practices in the training, the vision, especially the inner self-image program, to see your image of yourself differently. Once that experience gets strong enough inside of you as a feeling and as a vision of yourself, that you're just, and imagine someone, you know, years in the future, you just haven't smoked for ages and you're just doing something else. You don't even think about smoking. See yourself, feel yourself like that, and you'll all just drop away. So if you do that, plus what Nick said, plus what Taylor said, take it as a superhero challenge. The job is done. So we want to hear from you.
And a lot of these addictions are, you know, physically oriented as well. The you know, parts of the body are addicted to. There can be psychological addictions, emotional addictions. I got an 18-year-old guy with me right now. Brother Michael said when he was 18, he dropped everything, and that was a miraculous achievement. And also the company he kept. Brother Michael kept different company that was reflecting back to him, you know, these holding these, you know, different states of being. So it's very important, the company you keep, being in positive, supportive company. If you're a smoker and you're hanging around with smokers all the time, it's, you know, it's pretty challenging extra. But like Taylor said, you know, you can do it. And so I've got this 18-year-old with me right now. He's 4 weeks into a 6-week program. He's just gone off, hiked off into along the Nepali Trail into the Kalalau Valley on his own for his vision quest. And he's only 18 years old, and he came over here absolutely, completely out of control. His life was out of control. He was a hair's breadth away from being jailed. He was in a lot of trouble with the police, several court dates, several charges, several all kinds of stuff. Mother absolutely on the point of emotional and psychological breakdown. Father completely out of control. You know, just a horrific story, this young guy's childhood. Just dreadful, dreadful, dreadful pain and heavy, heavy, heavy toxicity involving drugs and chemical dependence. Heroin being the latest and strongest situation. So we're talking about probably the severest addiction you can have. So she basically begged me to take this guy on, and we had to do a lot of powerful spiritual work on the higher planes, just not to get him sent to jail and to actually be able to come over here. So he came over, and we got him on the program, and it was very much about detoxifying him in the second and third week. We did a lot of detox stuff, and saunas, far infrared saunas. But despite what we were doing, whatever it was in the program, the first week, the second week, the third week, the fourth week, what has been consistent is the amount of exercise that he's been doing. He's really, 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 really been getting hold of his physical body, going for, you know, long, long hikes and in nature, rebounding, and lots of cycling, and just working it through the physical body. It's very important when you're moving out of any addiction that you really involve the physical body, because so many of the substances are lodged in the cellular structure. So whatever it is, ice cream, cigarettes, cannabis, alcohol, sex, whatever it is you're addicted to, and it doesn't matter what it is, if you've been doing it a lot, your body has got it in it. And there are, you know, energies and that are being fed by the addiction, psychological energies, psychological entity. The ego is a psychological entity. There are, if you've been dabbling with cannabis and any other psychoactive substances, you open yourself up to the astral plane. Even cigarettes or regular cigarettes will do that. Alcohol will do that. So what happens is we open our emotional bodies up to the lower astral plane, which is an invisible plane for us, but there upon resides entities and creatures. that are feeding primarily on low vibrational emotional frequencies. Low frequency emotional vibrations are being emitted from the individual, from the person, because of the misery that they're in with the addiction and where it leads them. And then the vibrations that are going through are actually feeding parasitic entities. And this is extremely well-documented stuff I'm sharing with you here. I've had personal first-hand experiences of the most gruesome nature, meeting these creatures on these invisible planes. And this realm, it may be news to you, it may not, but I can assure you it's a hugely significant part of human culture, is how we deal with this plane. The old shamans, the reason why we have shamans, why shamans ever came into the world, was primarily to deal with the entities on this plane. They can assume all kinds of forms. So there's all kinds of stories of these invisible, parasitic, nasty things that want feeding. And so we need to be very, very careful the way we are managing our emotional bodies, our feeling states, and what substances we're taking into our body. And if the consequences are obviously negative, then we need to be literally fighting tooth and nail, like Gandalf with the big smoke dragon demon going down into the fire, the abyss. Because in that battle, something extremely significant is at stake. Extremely significant. So, not trying to freak you out with heavy ideas, but this is just the way things are. So, great questions today. Goodness me, how wonderful the questions were, weren't they, Taylor?
The best ever. You know, I just want to add one more thing to the smoke conversation, and that is, you know, they've done studies that, as shocking as it may seem, the main reason people smoke is to get more oxygen into their body. And so one of the best strategies for getting over a smoking desire or craving is to deep breathe. And we know the Superhero Training has plenty of good recommendations for that. So really, really start to look at that protocol and replace your body's need for oxygen by inhaling smoke to inhaling oxygen, which is really what it's after anyways. And that will go a long way toward shifting the physical aspects of it.
Yeah, cigarettes. Yeah, well, I think you've heard enough here. Main thing is just to realize what you're dealing with on all those different levels. Realize what you're dealing with specifically on the physical level of, you know, those chemicals are highly addictive. Obviously, they put them in on purpose so that people carry on smoking. And see yourself as someone who's just free of that stuff. And all the other things we've said, so I recommend listening to this whole thing over again. And ultimately, it's taking a charge and making a decision. When you're completely sold on it, totally, fully, 100% of you, and you really feel it, then it's done. But when there's some of you who likes it, some of you doesn't like it, it's never going to happen. And so it's completely up to you when you make that shift. And you can make it now, right here and right now, or you can make it in 10 years or whatever. But it's completely your choice. And we recommend do it now. So, but make a decision from your heart. That's one thing I think is very important for all of us. We need to make a decision from our heart. You know, like, it's got to come from deep inside of you, otherwise you'll just give up after a while. You know, like, it really has to be from that deeper place. Yay. So, I think that's it for our calls, for our questions this week. So, unless anything else, no, I don't think we have any other questions. Taylor, any last thoughts?
Well, just really have send out massive gratitude to all of the superheroes and everything that you are evolving and, you know, just really embracing in your lives, and for all these questions, you know, it's out of your request that, you know, all these contributions get to be made. So just thank you for those of you that made them, and keep them coming, and onward and upward. You know, we're moving into the first new moon of spring, and it's a very ripe time for creation, a lot of potential for creation and manifesting. So really a perfect time to utilize that energy toward what it is you're desiring to move forward with in your life.
Oh, yes, absolutely. See you next time. Lots and lots of love. Lots of love. Aloha.
Aloha.